This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Welcome to Book Hype episode 80. I can't believe we've done 80 episodes. That's crazy. I wonder what anniversary we're up to. Like, someone should be giving us gold or silver or gems or something. I don't know. It'd be funny if it was paper. I think paper is like 10, though, so I don't know. I'm Marama, and I have, as always, Karen with me because she just can't leave me alone. She's so obsessed with me. And Jen is not with us this week, unfortunately, but we're going to have a fun show talking about news, answering some questions you guys have sent us in, just, you know, catching you up on what's been going on. We have, I think it was teased last week, a surprise or something, an announcement. I'm bad at these things. Wow, this has gone terribly. We're very excited to announce that we have a brand new host joining us, not a guest host, but a new permanent host who will be with us most weeks or, you know, whenever we let them and we get sick of Karen and we want to have this person on instead. Yeah, get used to it. We have the wonderful, delightful, talented, hilarious, beautiful, amazing, so fantastic that her own name is an adjective to describe how great she is. Brittany Lovely is joining us as our new Book Hype host, so welcome, Brittany.
Yay, Marama, I'll send you your $20 later.
Yeah, beautiful, thank you. That's American dollars, just so we're clear.
Yeah, it'll be American dollars.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, because the exchange rate is good at the moment. Yeah. Anyway, so fake platitudes aside, no, we're very excited to have Brittany joining us. Obviously, you guys will have heard her before. She is the person who's always talking about her one-woman show that we're still anticipating, highly anticipating. But yeah, Brittany will be joining us on a regular basis going
now
forward.
There's a lot more pressure on me now, so mm-hmm. make it done.
Yeah. Well, you can't just like come in every few months and be like, oh yeah, like that thing, I'll totally do it. And then just leave because the listeners will be demanding it. Yeah. So Brittany will be joining us because I will not be on as many Book Hype episodes. So everyone can breathe a sigh of relief. If you want to hear me, that's because I am doing the Hero Hype podcast over on Hyperball. So I'll be doing that and I'm still be doing Hype, which is our general entertainment podcast. So I just need to cut back a little bit on my Book Hype time, but not entirely. I'll be here like sort of alternate weeks going forward. And then Jen and Karen and Brittany will be here all the time. And it's going to be a really good time. It's very exciting. All right, let's talk about what we've been reading. Karen, you have been reading. Wow, what a long list, Karen. That's so many things. Why don't you tell us all of those things that you have read?
I don't know if I want to now. You keep being mean to me. You never compliment me like that.
Your name isn't an adjective. It's not my fault.
Thanks.
Well, mine is a poorly spelt adjective, but, you know, I don't think it's a compliment.
Mine's iron, wrought iron, close enough.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yes, you're very strong and sturdy. Is that good?
Reliable. Keep going.
You know, I'll take that. I will take
reliable,
that.
Consistent, the foundation of Book Hype, I would say. Karen, wrought iron.
I can do that. And speaking of iron, this is a good segue. I read this week Wonder Woman, Volume 3, which is titled Iron. And actually just read it like right before the podcast because prior to that I had not read anything. Actually, I've started a bunch of books, but I haven't finished them yet. And I don't like talking about them until I finish them. So I read Wonder Woman and it's just as good as it has been. Really love the art. Really love the storyline. Really love all of the Greek gods and her history. They did this cool thing in the beginning where it was her as like this 13-year-old or a 12-year-old, and she was like taking down the Minotaur and stealing a harpy's egg, and it's like, wow, she was 12. What was I doing when I was 12? Definitely not that. So it was pretty cool seeing before the Wonder Woman, like her as a kid, basically. But yeah, the story's been really great, and I can't wait to pick up the next one. I think I'm catching up on the volumes. I think the fifth one just came out in the hardcover, and I get them in the softcover, so I might have to wait a little bit, but still love it.
Yay, exciting. Yes, Wonder Woman is a better person than all of us. That is accurate. Britt, what about you?
Oh, this is good. It's even better than Karen's. So in addition to my pressure to put on Tiny Cooper the musical, I have to actually start reading again. So I can't just say that this week I read an Entertainment Weekly from last week. I read one article from an Entertainment Weekly for this week. But then before that, I read The Royal We by Jessica Morgan and Heather Cox, which they're the Fug Girls online. If you don't know who they are, you should look them up because they're amazing. And they're obsessed with British royalty, exclusively Kate Middleton and, you know, Prince William, who just had their beautiful little girl today. And yeah, so it's basically like a story about how a girl goes to Oxford and falls in love with the prince, and then their whole story about leading up to their wedding and what a nightmare it is dealing with royalty. And it was amazing, and I recommend everybody read it. It's new adult fiction, so.
So it's like Kate Middleton fan fiction is what you're saying?
Oh, it's absolutely Kate Middleton fan fiction, except that the girl is American from just a different area of Britain. But it's amazing. I see. It's so amazing. It was so good.
I'm starting to feel like we've maybe asked the wrong person to join us. Like, I read Entertainment Weekly, and I read a book about royal family.
No, cool. You should see my to-read list after television ends and I'm done writing for a while. It's unbelievable. I have so many books I need to read. So two more weeks, and I will actually be back on the reading bandwagon.
Yeah. All of your shows are wrapping up soon. Okay. Well, actually, The Royal We, I would probably totally read that because, like, that's just, I love the Fug Girls. They're so funny. So, yeah, that sounds like a fun time. I have to complain now. I've been reading so many disappointing things. I can't remember if I know I talked about this when I started it. I can't remember if I talked about it when I finished it, but I read Kissing in America by Margot Rabb, and like, I think when I first mentioned it, I was like, yeah, this is good. I enjoy it. And then I just don't like the ending of it kind of ruined the book for me. From about halfway through, it just went way downhill. Then I read One True Thing by Nicole Hayes, which is about a girl whose mother is running for premier, which is like, I don't know, like the governor of a state in America. It's like the person who's in charge of the state. I don't know. Whatever your equivalent of that is, like Arnold Schwarzenegger was, like that person. About like how she is dealing with that, and it's set in Australia, and it was okay, but I don't know, it wasn't, you know, amazing. And then I just read The Pause by John Larkin, and the premise of this was so cool. It's about a guy just tying into like all of these kind of depression, suicide related issue books that seem to have been coming out over the last 6 months. It's about this boy, and he, you know, in the first like 20 pages or something, he decides he is going to kill himself, and he throws himself in front of a train. And then the story splits into like these two parallel timelines, I guess, and one where he dies and one where he like pauses, get it? That's a title. And he, you know, lives his life. And it's a really cool idea. I really like the idea of like the parallel timelines and kind of how it would diverge. And maybe, I don't know, you would see like what happened to different people, whatever. But it was such an issue book. It was so heavy. And every 5 seconds he was like, it's such a good thing that I paused. Like, oh, I'm so glad I paused. I could be missing out on all of life, but I paused. And it's like, dude, we get it. Like, that's the title of the book. You don't have to say it in every sentence. So I feel like that kind of ruined it a bit for me in the execution, although the idea was really cool. And I am currently reading this book called The Accident Season by Moira Fowley Doyle, I think. And it's really weird. It's about this family, and like during around Halloween time, they become super accident prone. And so the mother becomes really protective and makes them wear like 14 coats, and they're not allowed to like do any activities or, you know, drive or like do anything like this, because someone in the family always like dies or gets hurt or whatever during the accident season, as they call it. And it's not amazing so far, I have to say, but I'll probably finish it. So yeah, there are my complaints for the week. That's not going to encourage anyone to read any of those, but my bad. Maybe, you know, whatever. The pause I was most disappointed in, because I thought it was going to be real good and it was real average. Anyway, yeah, so of course you can find out about all of these books in the show notes, where we have a list. Don't forget, our next book review book is An Ember in the Ashes by Sabah Tahir. That will be our review book for the end of May. We'll do that in a few weeks so that you guys have time to, you know, read the book like some of us may have not done yet. And this is a good time to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. And for listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. So one audiobook you might like to consider is An Ember in the Ashes. The book, this was Jen's choice, right, Karen? Jen chose this one?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like a high fantasy book set in sort of a quasi like ancient Rome type setting, I guess. We haven't done a fantasy book for a little while, so just to shake things up. Yeah, so if you want to check that one out, we'll be recording in a couple weeks. You can let us know what you thought of it. And actually, this is going to tie in nicely to our book bites we're about to talk about. But yeah, if you want to get a free audiobook like An Ember in the Ashes, you can go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. And thanks, Audible, for their support of our show. Our book bites today, we're going to be talking about how we travel with books, like our strategies and our tips and our like whatever. So one way might be to take a whole lot of audiobooks on your iPhone or your iPod, because that doesn't take up space. We had this question from Lucy in our comments, who said she's going on a month-long trip to Ecuador, where she won't have access to the internet in order to use a Kindle and download books that way. I'm wondering if you guys had any suggestions for books to bring. I'm packing light, so I'd prefer no big books, but preferably bunches of small ones. And then I was thinking, how do you guys deal with this when you're traveling? Like, I do a lot of travel, but how do you deal with, you know, when you travel, do you just not read? Do you take things with you? Do you take a Kindle? Like, what's everyone's preference?
Well, when I studied abroad, I got a Kindle right before I left, and it was excellent, but I had access to internet, so I could continue to use it. But I still like having a book in my hands. And I know that Lucy's going to Ecuador, but what I did when I was in Europe and like bouncing around, I bought a lot of secondhand books, and then I just sold them, like, again, like when I got back in Scotland or like I was in somewhere else, I would get rid of them. I would just donate them. So I liked doing that, like finding little secondhand shops, and like then I didn't feel bad about spending money on the books. They would be like a dollar here or like, you know, $2 there. So I liked doing that because I like holding a book in my hands. Like, I love my Kindle, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I feel that. Karen, what about you?
I like Bear Witness, which I just read not that long ago, is a small book, and that was pretty good. So I'd recommend maybe bringing that if you're looking for lighter ones. Comic books are also good, just saying. They don't take up a lot of room, but there's a lot to look at. So, you know, they're easy reads because there's obviously not a lot of text, but you can take your time looking through all the artwork, which is usually absolutely stunning. So that could be a fun way to travel light with a lot of books. I have a Nook, which I don't use all that often, but I have on my phone all the different apps for like Kindle, Nook, iBooks. I have Audible on there, so I can kind of go any which way I want. I like to download the free books if they sound good, And I've been doing a lot of Audible books lately. And for those, I tend to look for narrators that I really like if I'm not already familiar with the book. Because I tend to read books I've been recommended, like, you know, like our monthly books and that sort of thing, actual physical books, or if I have to, like, I'll buy it on my Nook. But for other ones, I look for, like, Chris Colfer's books. I always listen to the books because I really like, he narrates all of them, and I really like his style. And the Veronica Mars books, those are really fun to listen to. And if I like, if I found a narrator that I like from other books that I've read, then I'll just keep going with other things that they read, because I think the narrator is really important for that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, if you're like into narrators, then autobiographies might be a good way to go, because a lot of celebrities like read their own book. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think Amy Poehler did her book, Yes, Please, from last year, and a lot of them do. So that could be like a fun way, because it feels like Amy Poehler's just talking to you. And I mean, that's the best thing that's ever happened. I tend to go, yeah, kind of on Brit's method. I have a Kindle that I use for travel. I don't really use it any other time, which, you know, you can put like so many things on that. I mean, you don't need to be able to update it with lots more books. So it's more like if you're able to charge it, you can like fill it up with a whole lot of things before you travel and then read them as you go. Or, you know, like I have all the Harry Potter books on my Kindle. I have all the Lord of the Rings books on my Kindle because they're like some of my favorite books. And, you know, sometimes you're like been on a plane for 15 hours if you live in Australia and you're like, I would really appreciate reading one of my favorite books at this moment. So that's the nice thing about those. And yeah, when I've been living overseas or traveling, I do tend to do the buy secondhand and then sell them again or donate them kind of thing, because yeah, there's something nice about just having a book itself. But I think the problem with taking a whole lot of books with you is then you have to bring them home again, or you feel guilty. Like, I think the best way is to take things that you wouldn't be upset that you, if you had to leave them there, you know? So, yeah, I don't know, something to think about, because you might have other things you want to bring back, like if you've bought things or done other things there. Anyway.
Yeah, like maybe hit the secondhand store first.
Yeah.
And then you won't feel bad leaving them there.
Exactly. Like, do that at home, buy some things, and then mm-hmm. if you need to leave them, you can, without being like, but this cost me like $20, I can't just leave it here, because I've definitely had that problem. So hopefully we answered your question, Lucy. I don't know. If you have any suggestions for Lucy, you can let us know in the comments of this post on hyperbool.com. You guys can also get in touch with us on Twitter at bookhype, of course, as always. And we'll get to a little bit more feedback later in the show. But now it's time for the weirdest news stories of the week, also known as the news. It just happens to be weird. We haven't especially chosen weird things. As we are recording this, it is the 17th anniversary of the Battle of Hogwarts, and J.K. Rowling apologized for Fred. So that was nice of her. How's everyone celebrating the anniversary today? How's everyone dealing with this? Did anyone remember is more the question.
No. And I think celebrate is not the appropriate word. Just saying.
Well, I mean, whatever. Commiserate, honor the memory of Fred and other people. I don't know. Some people were mad that like she only apologized for Fred. She says she thought she might apologize for one death per anniversary. So my question is, who are you hoping she will apologize for next? Like, who is at the top of the list in terms of your experience of Harry Potter?
I don't want to say mine because it could start something.
Oh my God. I know
you
who you're going to
like
say.
Everyone else in the Harry Potter world who hates this person. But I
Brittany's
genuinely
Snape,
love.
And I'm going to murder Brittany.
I love Severus so much.
Professor Snape, Brittany.
No. Severus.
Hey, Brittany, I'm on your side, so.
Oh, God. I have heard every argument under the sun against him, and there's just something. I don't know. It was in, like, my first reading of the series. I was like, this guy, something's going on with him. I don't know what it is. And I loved it. I cried reading the last book.
Ugh. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's like one of the most interesting characters, but he's also like the worst people in the world. No. He's on that list. Blah. I'm going to say Lupin should be number one apology. Yeah. So sad.
Ugh, Lupin.
I mean, Fred is the saddest because of the twin factor, but Lupin, yeah. Like, the Marauders are so tragic. That's why we love them, I guess. Like, that's such a tragic little group, and I need a book about them. I'm never going to stop asking for that ever in my life, even though she's been like, I'm definitely never going to do that. It's like, well, I'm definitely never going to stop asking, so deal with that person who doesn't know I exist. Yeah, so, you know, that's the thing that happened. We all like to reflect on Harry Potter and et cetera. Moving on to maybe a finale that was less emotional, Allegiant. Some things have been happening. Karen still hasn't read it. Is that correct?
That is correct. You know what? I'm really not in that much of a hurry because I did not like Insurgent, which I know I've said 100 times, but yeah. There's just a lot of other things that I'd rather be reading than Allegiant. I'll get to it eventually. I'll try to get to it before the movie.
Okay. Well, that's admirable. Brittany, you've read it, right?
I read it, but it was one where by the time I got to the third book, I was like, I picked it up, I put it down, I forgot what page I was on, I started over. I did finish it, but when we posted these articles, I had to go back and remind myself who the characters were that were cast.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Daniel, but I had no clue who this other person was. Or Jeff Daniels. I don't know why I said Daniel. Barely reading this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so yeah, so we have a little bit of casting for the Allegiant films. Jeff Daniels is joining as David. He's like the main bad guy in Allegiant. And then Bill Skarsgård from Hemlock Grove, he is joining as what's his name? I totally forgot his name.
Matthew,
maybe? Yeah. Like, I don't know why. Yeah, he does not stand out to me. I just read this and I already forgot who he was. So, you know, I feel bad, but no one is super passionate about Allegiant on Book Hype or like Divergent in general. Yeah. I don't think. Jeff Daniels is great though. Bill Skarsgård, I don't think I've actually seen him in anything because I don't watch Hemlock Grove.
Yeah. I love Hemlock Grove. And he is wonderful, and I love his character. I don't know what his character is going to be like on Allegiant, but I'm looking forward to it just because he's going to be playing it.
He is Stellan Skarsgård's son. I knew it. I had to look this up because it's been really annoying me. They look so similar. It's really creepy. Sorry. Yes. I like his dad in things. I don't think I've ever seen him in anything, though. Yeah, I mean, Jeff Daniels is great. He'll be a great villain because he's super creepy. And a little bit, yeah, he's got that kind of intimidating factor, I think.
Yeah, and that's an important role for a lead. Yeah. So.
They do have a good cast. Like, these films do have a really good cast, you know. And I think I've said before, I actually enjoy the films more than I enjoyed the books, although Insurgent had its problems. But yeah, the cast continues to be like really solid, so that's,
and who knows what's going to happen in Allegiant. It could be completely different.
I'm sure it will be. So, you know, whatever you think of the book or of these characters' role in the book, not necessarily what is going to happen in Allegiant. We will find out more about that going forward. Of course, we're getting the next one in less than a year, March next year, so. And then part two, of course, the inevitable part two, will be in March of 2017. Okay, more casting news now. I think last time you guys talked a little bit about some of the Mortal Instruments news. We now have new casting for Simon and Isabel, both two like relatively new actors, so there's not a whole lot to judge them on, but you guys were talking about like what you wanted to see for this adaptation, right, Karen?
Yeah, and we were specifically saying that they had to get Simon right because he's such an integral character and he's so lovable that we were really hoping they could get somebody who portrayed him like they did in the movie, because movie Simon was pretty spot on to the character in the books.
And what do you think about, you can only really judge on the look of these two, but what do you think?
I mean, he, like, I can kind of see, he looks a little similar to the other guy. Not, like, super close, but in the eyes, I kind of see that same, like, kindness, I guess, which I think Simon has to have because he is this adorable sort of quirky guy who kind of gets pushed to the side a lot and deals with it fairly well until things go a little sideways. I'm more excited about the girl who's going to play Isabel because she's beautiful. And for me, Isabel has to be that sort of vixen type character. And I mean, again, you can only judge on the looks, but I think that she looks like she could play that character very easily.
Yeah. Britt, are you a Mortal Instruments fan? Have you read any of the books or seen the movie?
I read a bunch of the books. I don't even remember how many it was or is at this point. I didn't read the prequels that came out like alongside of it, but I saw the movie and it was like, it didn't make me want to go back and finish reading the books at all. Like, I loved the first book. I thought it was fantastic. And then I saw the movie and it was just a train wreck. And I was so upset about it because I was really looking forward to it. So I'm excited for this series though. And I agree with Karen. I think the casting so far has been pretty great.
Yeah, I think you have to kind of have faith when they cast newish actors that it's for a reason, like not just because they're cheaper, but because they must see something, because they're not bringing their name recognition to the project. So they must be bringing like a really good understanding of the character or, you know, something that they think the series really needs. So, you know, you need to kind of have faith, I think, in those. They both look great. I agree with you, Karen. I think Isabel looks perfect. There is a lot of pressure on this guy for Simon though, because yeah, everyone really liked what was his name, Robert Sheehan in the film, who played him. So yeah, we still don't have a premiere date or anything for this, but are we all going to be checking it out when it airs? Like, will we all watch it?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to give it a try. I'm really excited about it because this might be their second chance. You know, I mean, I didn't mind the movie, but I know a lot of fans were very upset about it. And so they could really take the time, especially with a television series where you can get a little more in detail and run with it. And it could end up being really cool and maybe even super popular outside of the fandom, which would be nice. So I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm glad it's going on ABC Family and not a major network, because I think it'll have more of a shot there than anywhere else.
Yeah, that's a good point. I everyone knows I'm not like the biggest Mortal Instruments fan, but I'll definitely check it out because I am very pro TV adaptations versus film. I think that's like such a good trend that we are seeing more and more of. So I'm interested to see how this goes. And, you know, the movie was pretty terrible, but the books are super popular for a reason. So yeah, I'm very curious to like see how this all goes, and we will keep an eye on it as we find out more. All we know is that they're filming later this year, and it's going to be 13 episodes and ABC Family, like Britt said. So yeah, we'll keep you updated. Moving over to things that I'm even less enthusiastic about, 50 Shades of Grey. The end of sentence. The first 50 Shades Darker teaser trailer was released, and I guess they filmed this while they were filming 50 Shades. They're saying that this movie is going to be a thriller now, and I don't know if we've mentioned on Book Hype yet, but E.O. James's husband is writing the screenplay. The film isn't coming out until 2017. There's been some issues with, like, I think contracts and the cast and et cetera. But yeah, is anyone going to watch this? Did anyone watch the first one? I guess that's a good place to start. Did anyone watch 50 Shades of Grey?
I know. No. Jen did. I didn't.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Either.
Jen pretends that someone forced her to watch it, but she totally wanted to watch it. yeah. I mean, I guess I haven't read. I read the first book. Unfortunately, I had to. I haven't read any of the others, but my understanding is that they're fairly similar in story. So I guess they're trying to make this stand out a little more from the first one. I don't know. The teaser trailer is like such a nothing thing. It's just he's got a mask on.
I literally just watched it like right
as
now.
We were talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was
I didn't
nothing.
Watch it.
I wasn't going to, and then I was like, no, stay informed. And so I watched it, and it's just him putting on the mask and like some piano music in the background, and that's it. So
I read the article, but I was like, ah.
Yeah, if you look at the photo that's attached to the article, that's the only thing you see in the trailer. Just you okay. Eventually get to that. So I mean, I just don't understand why Jamie Dornan is doing these movies. But anyway, because I like
so
him a
disappointing.
Lot. Yeah, it just really makes you wonder. I guess because they're getting a lot of money and it seems like they are trying to get a lot more money. What would happen if they just said they weren't going to do the sequel? They must be signed on for it already. But like,
didn't they
hate each other during filming or something? I'm sure that those were the rumors that the two leads really did not get along.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
And that made it difficult for like the sequels and things. Yeah, I saw some article that was like all the awkward moments of their press tour of people being like, so what was it like filming the scenes together? And they were like, and it was just so awkward. So who knows? Anyway, yeah, I think I can safely say none of us will be watching that. But, you know, if you are, fine. I disagree with your life choices. Okay, moving on to something more exciting. Netflix and Ellen are making a Green Eggs and Ham TV series. Add this to the list of adaptations we never thought we would see, I guess. My favorite thing about this is that they released the description and it's a rhyme, like in Dr. Seuss style. If everyone has read this. So yeah, they're like making this series. It's going to be 13 episodes, not till 2018, obviously animated. They say never before
well,
seen.
Well, obviously animated. It's not so clear when it comes to Dr. Seuss adaptations, because there have been some pretty terrifying live action adaptations.
Well, I think I was just thinking more like, you hope that Netflix has some, you know, degree of quality associated with their products. So I can't see how you could possibly make live action.
I'm not excited about this.
I just think it's so weird. But yeah, I don't know. I don't understand why this is happening. But
me neither. Yeah. There have been so many movies announced that I'm like, do we really need this in our lives? Like a Winnie the Pooh live action movie and a Play-Doh movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, this, I will admit, this makes me kind of excited because Netflix knows what it's doing and Ellen is so great. And I like in the article we have here, it says they were given 5 minutes with Dr. Seuss's widow and she ended up listening to the whole 45-minute pitch. And I guess like, she's notorious for not really going along with those sort of things or something like that. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just wondering like how you can get 13 episodes out of it, but
yeah. Also Deadline is reporting that Netflix is spending over $5 million per episode.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I mean, aren't animated like anything just super expensive to produce anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Expensive. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely expensive. And, like, it means that probably visually it's going to be great. But it also means that, like, it's a really big investment for them, you know, versus, like, a traditional TV show. So they must think it's going to be good and popular. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same place. The thing I'm excited about is that it's bringing this story to like younger kids, because I feel like no one reads Dr. Seuss anymore. Every person I know who has a baby, they get like 10 Dr. Seuss books from me.
Do people not read it anymore? That's so sad.
I think that they do, but I feel like they're not. So I don't know. I was so immersed in Dr. Seuss. Like I still am. I wrote my senior literary theory thesis paper on the Cat in the Hat. So I am a huge Dr. Seuss geek, but that's why I'm very on the fence about this. I don't know how to feel.
So you're like a, I see, you're like a Dr. Seuss expert. Well, you'll have to analyze it and write a paper on this in 2018 when it comes out. That's the other thing. Like, these things are announced so far in advance that it's like you get excited about it and then you realize, oh, I can't see this for 3 years. Like, why am I even thinking about it?
Yeah, like, I'll forget about it in like a year and then it'll be like, oh, it's coming out. Oh, right. I was upset about that. Am I still upset about it? I don't know.
I'll forget about it in like a week. There'll be like 14 more things announced between now and then, and I'll have totally forgotten that Dr. Seuss was a thing. But yeah, anyway, we'll see. It's just another. I'm kind of with you, Karen. Like, I feel like I'm just overwhelmed by all of the things that have been announced recently. That now, when things like this are announced, I just wonder why. Like, do I need this in my life? Does the world need this? And the answer is maybe not. But, you know, if kids, like, it means kids get into it, then I can get behind that. And it's kind of interesting for Netflix to do more, like, children's focused things, I guess. So, yeah, we will see. Anyway, I think that wraps it up for the weirdest news week. You thought I was kidding when I said that at the start, but now you understand. Like, yeah, it was super weird. If there is anything you want to share in any of the stories we talked about, let us know in the comments. Tell us on Twitter at BookHype. We're always happy to have a chat. And you can pester Brittany about things now too, not just the three of us. So win-win for everyone.
Yay.
All right, let's do some feedback. Karen, I think this first one is related to you and the show that you did last week.
Ah, yes. This is from K8_8K. And they say, I couldn't help but giggle when you were talking about the Norse gods because all I could picture was the modern/twisted versions of Norse myths in the New Zealand show The Almighty Johnsons. Descendants of Vikings that migrated to New Zealand are chosen to reincarnate Norse gods, goddesses, etc. on their 21st birthdays. They have most of the deities you discussed in the episode. Disclaimer, it's geared toward adults. That sounds kind of cool. I don't know if I've seen any like twisted modern versions of Norse myths before. I wonder if that's something that I could find online or like Netflix. That'd be kind of random, probably.
I'm so amazed you don't know about this. Like, no. I don't know about it either, but I just assume that you. No, I just assume that you know everything about like to do with mythology. any show
actually,
that's happening.
What I was saying on our last episode, because we were talking about Magnus Chase and the gods of Asgard, was that I know quite a bit about Greek mythology, a little bit about Egyptian, but my Norse mythology is pretty bare, I would say. And I was talking about how I was looking forward to learning about it. I mean, of course, like Raiden's versions are not going to be 100% correct, and it is set in modern times, but to sort of open that door a little bit more, and it'll force me to do some more research too. So yeah, this is not something that I'm super into, but I would like to get further into it.
If you're interested, Karen, there's a really good documentary about like Norse mythology that people might be interested in. It came out a couple years ago. How was it called? Thor, I think it was called. Yeah, you might want to check that out. I think it's like basically a documentary of just, you know, there's Loki's really attractive.
Awesome.
Thor is like, he's got a weird accent, but I mean, I think they just like filmed it somehow. Yeah. That's definitely, totally accurate.
it sounds like something I would be into, so I will look that up.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Another piece of feedback from, I'm not sure how you say this. Nivet. I apologize in advance. Just finished Where She Went. I loved it so much more than If I Stay. Wondering what y'all thought of it. Have you guys read this? Like Gail Forman is the like kind of companion sequel to If I Stay. I know Jen has.
I have not.
I own it.
Oh.
I have not read it.
I've read it. I would probably agree. I've talked before, I think. I did really enjoy If I Stay. I like Where She Went because it's more sort of like adult, I guess, more mature, I would say. And it's another one of her books that kind of all takes place in like a very short amount of time. I think it takes place over like, I don't know, like not even 12 hours or something. So yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from. And then because this is a democracy of a podcast, everyone gets some feedback. Brittany, I think you have one more for us that was directed at you.
Yeah, I got this little notification a week before I was officially coming on as a host. And, I didn't put the person's name. Oh, I'm such a bad person. I replied to, hold on, I'm getting your name. Okay, Lizzie at A Drop of Magic asked if the new book hype host was going to be me and wanted to know, are we going to get more Tiny Cooper story? Because if we are, a bunch of hard eye emojis. And I love the hard eye emojis. And yes, I will be working on Tiny Cooper the Musical for my summer project for Hypeable. I'm putting it in my notes saying that that's what I'm doing. Don't bother me to do anything else. I'm not doing any news coverage. I am just working on this musical. So it's coming.
Definitely. Very excited. Well guessed, Lizzie. Imagine if this was all an elaborate ruse and at the end we were like, just kidding, it's not Brittany. It's someone else.
Yeah, by the way, guys, it's just a guest host this week. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah, all of that. We're actually finally letting Karen on as a full-time book hype host. She's been a guest host this whole time. So
surprise! <that's it. laughs>
Karen's like the awkward person on a TV show who's a recurring character, even though they're in every episode. And the audience is like, you just don't want to pay them as much. That's like Karen. Finally.
You know, okay,
she's like the Ed Herman, like, special guest appearance by episode.
Yes. That's a great... Karen, that's just something to aspire to. Are you crazy?
I don't know if I have anything to say to either one of you right now.
That means no, you get the special title card at the end that says, because you're the one who gets your name. Like, no one else gets their name. It's like on The West Wing, like, and Martin Sheen. You're like that person.
It's not like you're not like Sean Gunn just like thrown in there randomly, like, you know.
Yeah. This has become a Gilmore Girls podcast. Welcome. Now,
I have to say that I hung out with fellow Hypeable staffer Caitlin this weekend, and it was just like any other podcast that I've ever been on, but in real life where I was constantly getting picked on, so that was fun.
What? But Caitlin's meant to be like the one who has your back. What happened?
I don't know where you got that idea from, because she was relentless, but I love her, so it's okay.
Oh, okay. Well, we all met at the end of last year. Was it the end of last year when we hung out in New York? Yeah, and Jen.
And I wasn't officially a part of Book Hype, but now I can say that I am in that photo of us.
Yes.
Like, Book Hype and Brittany. No, it's like Book Hype.
Yeah, that's still fun because it means, like, I think, one of the only podcasts where, like, all the people who podcast have actually been with each other in the same physical space. So that's always a fun time because, you know, it's all so far away. It's so hard. All right, that is it for the end of this slightly odd episode. We hope you guys enjoyed our fun announcement. We hope you enjoyed our weird news and our tips for traveling with books and everything else that happened. It's hard to remember. It was so long ago. We will be back next time with, I don't know what. We will surprise you. And don't forget, in a few weeks, we'll be doing our book review, book club, book discussion, how many times can you say book in a sentence, of Ember in the Ashes. So we will all read that. You guys should read it or listen to it on Audible and let us know what you thought. And then, Karen, what's our June book again?
Our June book is going to be Undertow by Michael Buckley.
Okay. So if you want to start planning ahead, that is what we have coming up for the next couple months. And as always, you can get in touch with us on Hypeable in the comments or on Twitter at Book Hype. So until next time, I'm Marama.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Karen.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.